Welcome to The Holistic Entrepreneur with holistic nurse practitioner, success coach, and best-selling author, Bonnie Gressel. Bonnie and her expert guests share tips, tools, and strategies to achieve success on your holistic entrepreneur journey. Each show features answers to common entrepreneur challenges, along with a healthy dose of support and motivation. Now, please welcome the host of The Holistic Entrepreneur, Bonnie Gressel.
Welcome, everyone. This is Bonnie Gressel, your host here at The Holistic Entrepreneur. Now, today, I'm going to be the guest, actually. I was recently interviewed by Serena Kirkosal on her summit, Amazing Women of Influence, and I was a bonus speaker, so I was sort of at the end for those people who did the survey, the evaluation for the summit. And so I wanted to share this clip with you. We're talking about publishing and podcasting and getting out there into the world. And so we're going to get to that in just a moment. But first, I always, always want to thank all of you for spending your precious time here with me on the show. I am so honored and so grateful that you do that each and every week. And I'm so thrilled that this show spans the globe now. Oh my gosh, 60 countries. I would have never guessed it. So thank you so much for listening. Now, if this is your first time listening, welcome. And if you've tuned in before, welcome back. It's going to be another great show. So, I always say that being a holistic entrepreneur is really more about who you are than what you do for a living. You come from that heart-centered place. You want to make a difference in the world. You want to leave your mark on the world and serve others. So, perhaps that's why you've joined us today. So welcome. I am so appreciative that you're here. Now, remember that you can find all of the links to where this show is out on the Ethernet. If you go to my website, all the icons and links are there too, on iTunes and TuneIn Radio and iHeartRadio and Stitcher and Spreaker and SoundCloud and Google Play, and I think there's a few other places. So if you go to my website, you'll find icons to each of those places so you can listen at your favorite network. And I always want to invite you to join us on Facebook. I have a group. It's called Entrepreneur Mastery, and it's a place where we can all interact, and I'm very active in that group, and it's sort of a place where we can bounce stuff off of one another and learn from one another and maybe collaborate with one another. So if that fits for you, please do join us at Entrepreneur Mastery, and that's just on Facebook. You just type in Entrepreneur Mastery and you'll find it. But I'll put the links to all this stuff, as well as to Serena's website, on this show page so that you can just click on it and go directly there. So now let's get into that interview that Serena Kirkosal did with me for Amazing Women of Influence. I hope that you'll enjoy it.
And today's guest is Bonnie Gressel. Bonnie's a best-selling author, international podcast host, and success coach. She helps entrepreneurs expand their reach and achieve success through building their online presence so they can reach people around the world and attract more ideal clients. Bonnie's clients discover how to share their message and grow their business. Bonnie and her husband, Mike, also own a boutique publishing company with services that fit the needs of any prospective author with a message to share. Thank you, Bonnie, for being here.
Oh, thank you so much, Serena, for inviting me. I am honored to be in your summit.
Well, thank you, and I'm excited to have you here. And I love the topic that we're going to be talking about today, which is mostly about podcasting and a little bit about publishing. Let's hear a little bit about your story. Let's talk about your journey to entrepreneurship and what was your why?
Oh, boy. Well, my journey, it was a little, there were a lot of detours, so I'll try to make this brief. I'm a nurse practitioner by education, and I worked in a large multi-specialty clinic in my previous life. And I came to the point where I wanted to do more teaching, spend more time with my patients, and that just wasn't doable in a large clinic like that. So I went into private practice. I mean, no money in the bank, like you're supposed to have, no, really a plan, but I knew in my soul that this is what I was meant to do. So long story short, within 2 years, I had a very successful practice and was making six figures, more than I was making at the clinic before. But then in 2009, I had a really bad car accident and I was in a coma for a while and had severe brain injury. And my practice had to, it kind of took a tank at that time because nobody knew if I was coming back, and you know, including my physicians didn't know if I would get my brain back. But luckily I did, and you know, life goes on. But I found myself having to really reinvent what I did for my business to share, you know, what I'm meant to share in the world. And I've always dealt with people that have chronic pain issues. That's what I did at the clinic. That's what I did in my private practice. So I thought, okay, I need to go online with this. And so I first reached out to people with migraine headaches and stress management stuff. And I had, you know, really minimal results with that. And many of my colleagues in the area in which I live were like taking me to coffee and taking me to lunch to sort of pick my brain, you know, like, how did you do it? How did you leave the huge clinic, start on your own, become so successful? And now you're online. And you know what, after, I mean, lunch was nice and coffee was nice. But after a while, I thought, you know, maybe I should be coaching and helping other people to do this as a, and do this as a business instead of just going to coffee with people. So that started me on my entrepreneur coaching path. And again, I had a few detours. Some things worked, some things didn't. And I finally then got to sort of that place, I like to call it the front door. You know, it's the thing you start with, the thing you lead with in your business, that front door. That's how you get people into your house. And podcasting has become my front door. I'm very successful in terms of reaching people all over the world with the podcast that I've done. And that was really just all organically. I didn't, you know, buy any ads or anything. So I thought, you know, I maybe can teach other people to do this. And it's the best form of networking I've ever found. So that's really what my front door is I help people to share their message with the world through podcasting. And once they start working with me on that, it's like, oh, and you can do this, and you can do website stuff, and you can do this. Would you help me with this? So it's really become more of business consulting in general, but it really started with that podcast piece.
That's incredible. And so, you know, the podcasting, are you still podcasting now?
Oh, absolutely. Great. Yeah, I have two shows a week. So I have two shows every week. And it's been, I started one back in, 2011, maybe. And the other one is about almost 3 years old now. So I do the Gift of Choice as sort of a more generic, it's people who want a better life. And then the Holistic Entrepreneur has got more of a business bent to it.
Your startup phase, what was that like for you? Did you ever feel like it wasn't going to work out and that you were going to have to go back to, you know, working or doing something else?
You know, the first time when I left the clinic, it really wasn't. I mean, yeah, it took a while to make some money, but I just knew that this is what I meant to do. And so I didn't ever feel like, oh gosh, do I need to go back to the clinic? Now there have been times while I've, you know, been in an entrepreneur coaching, you know, sphere or the business consulting that I have thought from time to time, gosh, you know, it's a lean month. Do I need to go look for a job again? But it's never had to happen. And I never really seriously thought about it. And if I ever say something, my husband looks at me and says, really, you don't want to do that. I mean, once you are in that entrepreneur space, to me, it's like a bird out of a cage. And it's, you don't want to go back. And even when I was at the clinic, I had the fortune, I guess, of, you know, they let me pretty much do what I wanted to. So I think I've always had that entrepreneur spirit, even when I was employed by somebody. So if I ever did do that again, which I don't plan to, but if I ever did, I would have to work in an environment like that. I couldn't have the regular job, so to speak.
Awesome. So normally, you know, people have a certain type of networking or advertising or marketing that they did to get their business out there. And besides podcasting, was there something else that you did that really worked well for you to get your name out there and even to get your podcast out there?
Yeah, well, oh, there's an interesting story with this. And it kind of was an accident, actually, almost. But back in, when was this, 2008, when I was still in my private practice, and my patients then would ask me, because I did a lot of hypnosis and imagery and energy work and stuff like that. And they would ask if I had these guided meditations recorded so that they could, you know, listen to them again at home. And I said, no, but you can, you know, buy something from Jon Kabat-Zinn or whatever. And so finally I went one day, this was the old days, right? 2008, you had to go to the studio to record these recordings. So I go to the studio and make 4 guided meditation audios. And when they sent the files off to be printed into CDs, again, we're talking the old days, right? Everybody had CDs. And the company, I think it was Disc Makers or something, said, you know, do you want the web package? It's on sale this week for $49.95. And I thought, what's another $50? I mean, I'm spending thousands of dollars. And I had no idea what the web package was. But what it was that they took my digital, my CDs, and they made them into digital products. And then they spread them all over the world. So today, how many years later, every Tuesday I get money. I get royalties from that. Now, it's not as good as it used to be because of all the streaming. But the thing that that did for me was it opened my eyes to the world is my market, not just Green Bay, Wisconsin, where I live. And that was a huge online presence boost for me. You know, because you've got those things out there, they're in, you know, Spotify and, you know, Rhapsody and Amazon and all these other places. And I've got my books are out there. And so I think the thing for me in terms of marketing was kind of just letting it organically happen and being out there enough, which is not the same to say as, you know, throwing a bunch of spaghetti on the wall and hoping something sticks. You have to have a strategy. Now, granted, the CD thing was an accident because I didn't know what I was doing, but it was a good mistake to make. But beyond that, you know, having that strategy to just get your name out there more and more and more and more and more in different ways, in different venues, you know, blogging or podcasting or whatever for other people. You know, it doesn't have to be all your own stuff, but there are some people I'll look up online, you know, if I'm searching their name for something. And the thing that comes up on the first page is when they were a guest on my podcast. So it's like, it doesn't have to be your own stuff, but just getting out there. To me, I think that's the best thing that I've ever done. And as I mentioned earlier, podcasting has really become the best networking that I've ever done because it allows me to reach people all over the world. Not just in my local community.
So how about social media? What is, you know, the one social media network that helped you or did it help you? Did you do social media then versus now?
Yeah, no, I've always done some social media, and it depends on it's dependent on the goal. So if it's, you know, more professionals that I'm after, I'm looking for people to be a guest on my show or whatever, I'll probably use something like LinkedIn more because that's got the more professional bent. And Facebook has been good. I do some boosted posts. I don't do a lot of ads. I've done ads, but if you don't really know what you're doing, you can really waste a lot of money on ads if you don't do it right. And so I am choosy about when I choose to do ads or really even boosted posts. But I do some of that because as you know, Serena, you know, Facebook isn't what it used to be. Not everybody sees your stuff. Even if you've got 50,000 likes in your page, it doesn't matter unless you boost a post or something so that it reaches them. So, you know, I play the game a little bit too. And I found probably, you know, Facebook and LinkedIn to be the most beneficial and Twitter as well. But those are the three that I probably spend the most time on. When people talk to me about, you know, what kind of social media should I do? They want to do everything. And to me, maybe I think that's a mistake. I think you need to do one to two, maybe three things if you're really, you know, gung-ho about it, but to do those well and to just let everything else go for now, rather than a little bit here and there and 20 other places, then you don't have that, you know, because it's really kind of a branding thing, right? If people see you in the same way in all these different places, it helps to build your brand. And that's really hard to do when you're focusing on 20 different things as opposed to, you know, maybe just two or three.
I see so many people spend so much time working day and night on social media and then trying to do all these different things. And they have no time to actually, you know, put something together like a product or a program, or don't have the time to get out there and, you know, really find the clients. Mm-hmm. Marketing is an important piece of your, you know, of your business. However, it's not something that you should be doing day and night and not have time for actually working on clients. You need something that converts. So it's important to not just concentrate on this, you know, being all over the place. It's important to stick to a few and really specialize at it and then focus on, you know, doing what brings you really brings you the money, which is the clients. So, and I love that we're talking about podcasting today because podcasting, I think, is a great way to, you know, build your audience, which will help you to build your clientele. So let's talk a little bit about publishing. Let's first talk a little bit about publishing a book. Mm-hmm. Because that's another great way to build your audience. And unfortunately, a lot of people think that the book will, you know, is writing a book will, you know, is a get rich quick scheme or something, or, you know, they think that they're just going to get rich from writing a book. And that's a huge misconception and myth. Tell the audience why.
Well, you're so right, Serena. I think people think if I write a book, I'm going to make all this money on royalties, that that's where the income is going to come, and then I'll be able to quit my job and whatever. And that is a misconception, because while you make something, you know, on book sales, obviously, most people, I mean, there are exceptions certainly, but most people don't make a ton of money on book sales. It's what the book leads you to. That's where the money is. So whether it leads you to public speaking, it helps you to develop a course, it builds your audience, your list, if you have an email list, it helps you communicate with that tribe, so to speak. That's where the money is. And it's a tool. And I look at podcasting the same way, actually. Podcasting or publishing a book is not a business. It's a tool to use in your business to help you expand your reach. And therefore, your ideal clients can find you and want to work with you, because, and it kind of all goes back to that branding thing too.
Agreed. A book is a great way to, you know, it's great for your bio. It's great to put in a bio. It's great to get people to be interested in actually interviewing you on podcasts. And then, like you said, getting speaking engagements, et cetera. So it's a method of marketing. It's another way to build your following and your online presence. It's not something that you will, you know, get rich off of. What are the benefits of podcasting, and who is podcasting best for?
Well, this might sound a little funny, but this is kind of me. I would rather talk than write. I used to do a written blog, and I don't really do that anymore, because now my podcast is my blog, because I like to talk. So it's for people who want to express themselves in that way. Not everybody likes to speak, you know, and even just because you're not up in front of a stage, some people are still a little timid about, you know, their voice going out onto the airwaves or out into, you know, cyberspace. And so then maybe that's a little bit more of a challenge for them. Maybe writing a book is better if they would rather write than speak. So that's one thing. And I think it's such an easy way to reach more people. I mean, there's no boundaries. There's no limits. I'm sure that I wouldn't have clients in countries all over the world if I had not been podcasting, because otherwise, how would they have found me? You know, and so it's been a nice way to expand that reach. And the other thing is, people think that, oh gosh, podcasting takes a lot of time, takes a lot of money. I have to have this big studio. That's the other thing is, you don't. It's so much easier to do it today than it was, you know, maybe years ago when you didn't need to go to a studio, or you needed to be at a TV or a radio station to record your show. There's so much that you can do right from your computer. I mean, if you have a good microphone, that's really all you need. And everything else that I teach people, when I teach people how to, you know, create a quality professional sounding podcast, is I have them get a good microphone, or at least a microphone, not using the one in their computer. But then all the other tools that we use are free. And so it's just a matter of learning how to do them. The other thing that people think about podcasting is that it takes a lot of time. And so it might be for somebody who doesn't have a lot of time, because it doesn't have to take a lot of time. So like writing a book is kind of a big project, and oh gosh, it's going to take me a while to get there. Or podcasting, you can have your message out there in a couple of weeks. I mean, it doesn't take much time. And I teach people how to sort of batch things together, because if you're doing a recording, you know, podcast, I used to do live radio, and live radio was fine, but it was so limiting because it was live, right? You could only do what you could do in that hour's worth of time, and you had to follow the rules and all this sort of stuff. And some of the radio I did, most of it was archived, but some wasn't. And so if somebody wasn't there listening, poof, it was gone. Whereas podcasting, you can reach people everywhere, because my guests can be, you know, on a totally different time zone. Doesn't matter, because we pre-record everything. And then the other thing is, you can batch them together because you're pre-recording. So say you're going to do a topic on something, but it's kind of a longer topic, and you want to have only 10 or 15 minute shows. And so what I encourage people to do is just talk about that topic, but put pauses in there, put breaks in there, so that you can split them up into several smaller shows. I did couple of months ago because we were going on vacation. I did 2 months of podcasting in an afternoon and just pre-recorded it all for my both podcasts. So it doesn't have to take a lot of time or a lot of expense. And so somebody who's looking for an easy way and who likes to talk anyway, podcasting would be awesome for them. And you can be a guest on other people's shows too. It doesn't have to necessarily be your own. What I advise is people doing both. Be a guest and be a host.
Awesome. So what type of podcast works best? Is there a specific type that is better that will get more traction, a bigger audience? Like, for example, health coaching or business type coaching? Like, is there something specific?
Yeah, well, that's a great question, Serena. You know, it really depends on who your target audience is. And so when I work with people, that's one thing that we really focus on in the beginning is who is this show for? And if they're doing a book, who is this book for? What is the reader or the listener getting from that? I mean, what do you want them to be able to do, say, think, or feel differently after they listen to your show or after they read your book? And so I think it all starts there. People can do solo shows or interview style. And really, I don't think one is better than the other necessarily. But the thing that I find, and especially as we come into the more recent past, people are busy, right? People don't have time, and people tend not to like the longer shows anymore. You know, when I did live radio, it was an hour. And that's way too long for people. People's attention span is much less than that. Plus, you know, when I think about myself, who would I rather listen to? Somebody that's taking an hour to say one thing and is taking forever to get there, or that somebody that's concise with their message and giving me value in 10 minutes or 15 minutes. So I think that's the thing that has changed is the length of time that's made the shorter ones more profitable, you know, because if you don't have a call to action, obviously it's not going to be profitable in any way. So that's the other thing that a lot of people sort of forget when they're doing a podcast is, you know, you got to have a call. You should always have some sort of call to action. And in the beginning, it's fine to have it be, you know, subscribe to me on iTunes or whatever, but you don't want that to only be your only call to action throughout the whole, you know, journey. You want it to go to your opt-in, to your website, to a freebie that you've got. Get them on your list so that then you can nurture that relationship and build that relationship with your tribe. Plus another thing, this is a really cool technique that I use and I'm sure other people do too. But once you have people on your list and they're through your funnel, whatever, however they came into your list, then I send out the links to my two weekly shows every Tuesday. And every Friday, I do something called Sharing Friday. So I'm in touch with my list, my big list, twice a week. And it's not like a lot of fluff. It's you know, just a little bitty thing. If they want to hear more, they can listen to the podcast or not. It doesn't matter. They get to choose. And so it's a really easy way to keep people connected to you so that it's not, you know, a few months before they hear from you again and they say, who is this? You know, it keeps you in their mind.
Awesome. And so should there be a specific time frame? Like, should it be done weekly? Should it be done monthly? Mm-hmm. How often is a podcast usually, or does it really matter? It can be by choice.
Yeah. You know, I think that's a great question, Serena. I think the biggest thing is consistency, just like blogging or anything else that you do on a regular basis, consistency, whatever that consistency is. I'm a fan of once a week. So there, I know some people who do podcasts every day or 5 days a week. I think they're crazy because that can be a lot of work if you're doing that many of them. But once a week, I think is a good time frame, but that's my opinion. I know people who also do it once a month. If you're doing one once a month, it gets to be a little long in between the episodes, especially if you've got an ongoing topic. And then it's like a whole month before people hear sort of the rest of the story. So I like that weekly time frame. But the most important thing, whether it's social media, blogging, podcasting, whatever, is that consistency piece. I think that's the critical piece.
Excellent. How long should a podcast be?
You know, I think we were talking about this a little bit before, Serena, that life is busy. People are just too busy and have short attention spans these days. So I think the shorter the podcast, the better. When I did live radio, you know, you had to have an hour show and you had to go on and you had to have a commercial break. And there were all these rules and it was so limiting. That's why I don't do live radio anymore. I like the podcasting much better. So I think in answer to your question, You know, a 10 or 15 minute podcast, I think is fine. You know, certainly half hour. Like what I do is if I do a solo show on the gift of choice, then I keep it to about 15 minutes because it's just me. But if I have a guest, then I keep it to about a half an hour because I think 15 minutes is cutting it a little tight if you're doing some dialogue, you know, between two people and you're doing an interview. So those are 30 minutes. But the days of the hour shows, I mean, there's a few people that still do hour shows. Like Amy Porterfield is one that comes to my mind. And her shows are great. And they're still an hour. And she got lots of people listening. But that's kind of the exception. I think the shorter, the better.
I agree. I totally agree because I have such a short attention span when it comes to that stuff. You know, anything longer than 20 minutes, I think I would space out. So, and not that I space, like I can't help it. And I'm sure many 90 or 80% of all the entrepreneurs that are even listening, we're multitaskers. As an entrepreneur, yep. We're multitaskers. So my screen usually has about 20 screens open of something, maybe more. So I start off doing one thing and then all of a sudden, like I'm concentrating on something else and I forget that I got a podcast running behind me. You know, I don't even really hear it. And I've got training calls and I've got this and I've got that. So yep. Keeping it short and sweet to the point is definitely something. And that's why I was, even with the summit, I wanted to keep these calls under an hour and some are even less than that. Some are like half hour to 40 minutes. And the reason why I do that is because I know how busy everybody is. We just want the juicy content, mm-hmm. No fillers, right?
Right.
So awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. You've given us so much valuable information. One last thing is there a way, can anybody just start podcasting or is there a type of training or something like that that should, you know, that people can get? What are your recommendations on that?
Well, you know, I took some training. I trained with John Lee Dumas and it was a great training and I'm still in his program. He tends to focus a lot on iTunes only, and I teach a podcasting class, which is called Expand Your Reach with Podcasting. And it's how to do everything from the clarity about who your audience is to designing the framework, all of that, recording and getting it out there. The difference in how I approach it, I think, in terms of getting it out there to some other people, is that I think the more places you are, the better. You know, iHeartRadio is much easier to get on with a podcast now than it was 2 years ago. I mean, because they didn't used to take podcasts 2 years ago. iTunes is obviously one that everybody knows, but TuneIn Radio and Stitcher and SoundCloud and Spreaker and Google Play. And I mean, there's so many places that you can be. And if you use something like Zoom as an example, it will record both your video and your audio. So I have some of my clients who actually do one podcast. They get both recordings. They put the audio recording on iTunes and iHeartRadio and all those other places, and they put the video recording on YouTube. So you're really exponentiating your reach. And I think, to me, that's the way to do it. And that's how I teach it.
Amazing. That's such great information. Great idea to repurpose and create an audio into a video in YouTube or Facebook Live. Yep. There's so much you can do. And I'm, you know, you can even record your Facebook Lives and then, you know, separate the audio from the video because you can save the video, separate yep. the audio from the video. And now you've got yourself a podcast too. So that's fantastic. Thank you for sharing that. Everyone can get information about you on your speaker page and they'll be able to access your training and all that. But you have a free gift. Tell us about it.
I do. And it is, you know, we talked a little bit before about the myths, right? People have all these misconceptions. So I wrote a short ebook or a long free report, whichever you want to call it. It's maybe, I don't know, 5-6 pages, but it's about the myths and the truths really about podcasting. And it goes through the 5 main ones that I hear people all the time talk about. One of them we talked about earlier, and that's that it makes you instant money, you know, and it doesn't. But I also talk about in this free report what things that you can do to make it actually create some revenue for you and build your business. And so I go through the 5 most common misconceptions and how to sort of use those to your advantage to be successful with podcasting. And, you know, there's one thing that I tell people all the time. It's, you know, if you're going to remember one thing, you know, because people are busy, right? We talked about that before. But if you're going to remember one thing, I always tell people, you know, there are no accidents. You are here for a reason. Believe in yourself. Believe in your dream. And most of all, believe that you can do it, whatever it is. there is a way to do it. You can have, be, do, or say anything in this world. And so I always want to leave people with that message of belief. You know, it's a choice. One of my shows is called The Gift of Choice. We talk about this all the time because it's a choice to believe in yourself, to think that you are worthy or not. It's a choice to believe in, you know, that something will work or not. And we pretty often get what we expect. So believe the best.
Fantastic. Thank you once again for your free gift, for being here and sharing all this wealth of information for all amazing women entrepreneurs that are looking to really get themselves out there and build the dream business and dream income. So thank you.
You've been listening to The Holistic Entrepreneur, hosted by Bonnie Gressel. The Holistic Entrepreneur has been brought to you by M&B Global Solutions, your source for individualized coaching for entrepreneurs and authors, along with book editing and publishing services. To learn more, go to mandbglobalsolutions.com.